I'm Liz Wall.
And I'm Jessica Aro.
News today that 600 people died when Russian invaders bombed a drama theater where civilians were hiding. You might remember this bombing in the end of March, which shocked the world. This theater, used as a bomb shelter, clearly labeled with the word children, which could be seen from the sky. The mayor of Mariupol says over 10,000 civilians were killed in the city. And this is the scene where Russian forces are reportedly preparing a victory parade set for May 9th.
Meanwhile, Russia's information war continues, including threats against neighboring countries, Finland and Sweden. And Russian trolls are finding new ways to blame victims and spread anti-Ukrainian hatred.
Yeah, and Jesse, you're the perfect person to tell us all about this because you're over there in Finland. So Russian trolls, with the help, as I understand, of Russia's foreign security services, have been up to no good, apparently trying to stage a false flag operation against Finland.
Yeah, unfortunately so. This is the news at the moment in Finland. I read this really excellent piece by journalist Arja Paananen. She's awarded Russia Beat journalist who is all the time covering the most important stuff from the Russian media, from the state media as well as from this troll media. And this time she has found this so disturbing campaign ongoing basically while we speak. According to her articles with Ilta Sanomat, a tabloid in Finland, the Russian troll factory connected and FSB-controlled fake news sites have been spreading these fake claims, according to which the Finnish armed forces would have started to transport tanks to the Russian border, to eastern Finland. And, you know, in fact, of course, Finland has not transported tanks to the Russian border. So this looks like it's yet again one of these reactions or so-called repercussions that Russia seems to be offering to Finland due to our wish to join the NATO.
Yeah, this is really concerning because as we've seen over the past 8 years since Russia's first invasion of Ukraine in 2014, when they start spreading disinformation, it means that they're up to no good, that they're planning something. They're spreading these false stories for a reason. And it seems like, as you say, they're trying to set up this false flag operation so that they can blame Finland, and then that justifies retaliation. What are these sites that are spreading such false conspiracy theories? Where are they based? Is any idea where they're coming from?
Yes, of course. And it is exactly like you said. This time, Russia is staging this false flag operation and putting out these false claims of Finland transporting tanks to the border in order then to communicate to us and inside Russia and to the world through these conspiracy theory sites that this so-called action of Finland then forces Russia to send its troops to Finland. So this is what we're looking at. And these sites, they, according to Arja Paananen, this really recommended Finnish journalist, who I really recommend everyone should follow her on Twitter, she counted over 10 Russian fake news sites that are spreading these accusations and theories. Mm. And there is, and as you asked, where are they based? There is a slight slice of truth somewhere out there to be found. In fact, the Finnish Defense Forces have been transporting military equipment but not to the eastern border, not to Russia's border, in fact, to a war drill in a completely different location. So it seems that some of this material could have been exploited in some of these fake news on Russian media.
Right.
But, you know, I have to say that one of these sites, really interesting, I feel that it could be worthwhile if people took notes about this site that Arja Paananen is mentioning and disclosing in the article. It's called Newsfront. And interestingly, it seems to be that Russia has turned Crimean Peninsula, which it illegally annexed back in 2014, it has turned its new region to some kind of fake news factory and created this industry of fake news in the peninsula as this so-called news front, this fake news site connected to FSB, operates from there, according to Arja Paananen. So that's then what happens in these areas and regions which Russia takes under control. They are being used to spread disinformation across the world.
Wow. So it seems like based on her reporting that Russia has used territory that they essentially stole from Ukraine to expand their troll operations outside of just St. Petersburg to their annexed territory there in Crimea. What is it you think that they are trying to accomplish? It really does seem like this is in response to news that Finland is joining NATO.
Yes, obviously they are trying to cultivate fear in the minds of Finnish people. It's almost always one of their key missions with these information operations targeted at us. So this time it seems they would love to see us be afraid of these Russian troops being forced to send to Finland. But unfortunately, Finns don't get scared easily. So let's see what is in store for us next. And you know, foreign journalists are super interested in what do I think and what do other Finns think Russia has actually in store for us for the phase that we are waiting for NATO countries to accept us as a member. And there are a lot of speculations about that. But, you know, I just look at the positive side and I always remind everyone asking that we are now on the bright side, actually. We have already accomplished such a big change, a big shift in the common general acceptance of joining NATO, of becoming a NATO member. And it is all due to Russia's and Kremlin's disgusting war crimes, as well as ethnic cleansing, as well as other disgraceful, horrendous operations they are conducting against Ukraine at the moment. So whenever Russia does these types of illegal, horrible operations, it actually puts us that much closer to NATO. So in fact, Russia has been able to influence Finnish public debate as well as public opinion and public's will to join NATO earlier. But now it cannot anymore. Basically, it's done. We are done listening to any of these threats and any of these fake news. And we will take it as it comes. And we will join NATO if we want. So there's that.
There's that Finnish resolve. I remember you saying that this really was a turning point for Finland after in the past there were some reservations about joining NATO. But after the invasion and seeing the mass attacks on civilians and just the horrific reality of what is going on in Ukraine, that Finland really just, the population came together and kind of changed its mind when it came to joining NATO. But it is not just Finland. There's also more disinformation with another neighboring country over there. Russia is also spreading false messages about Sweden, a country that now also wants to join NATO after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. In Moscow, I saw there is a publicity campaign saying that Sweden is a country of Nazis, which is so absurd to us, but alarming, something we have to take seriously in some regard, because this is the same thing that they were saying in Ukraine. They were saying that the Zelensky, the Ukrainian government, they're all a bunch of Nazis, and that's why we have to go in and rescue them and denazify Ukraine. So this is quite alarming because we know that they spread the same fake narratives in Ukraine before they invaded. What do you make of that narrative that Russia is spreading about Sweden? And overall, do you think that these scare tactics will work?
Completely, it will not work outside Russia. And it seems that these accusations against Sweden are once again meant primarily for internal consumption, so for Russians. And there it works much, much more better than here in the West. But obviously, it's also symbolic. Russia has chosen these super important national symbols of Sweden to be smeared. And this is one thing which they always actually can do quite skillfully, even to choose those most precious, most untarnished Western symbols from different societies and then really drag them into the dirt. And that is just something that I would really, at this point, without being able to see what's in store in the future, possibly for Sweden coming from Russia and not owning a crystal ball. But at this point, it really looks like really cheap trolling, like really, really cheap, nasty trolling that does not have a big impact to anything.
Yeah. I want to ask you, because I think you have a unique perspective. Even being, I'm from the U.S., I'm in Germany at the moment. However, I think in the United States, because of the location, Americans being farther away, not being in Europe, they're more disconnected from the war in Ukraine and, you know, just the reality of having refugees in neighboring countries, and just the proximity, I think, makes it a little bit more abstract for Americans. And so as a result, I think that there's sometimes you see, hear this kind of anti-NATO rhetoric. Some commentators saying things like, we should not let Finland or Sweden join the NATO alliance because that's a provocation towards Russia. And, you know, I want to ask you, for somebody that is, because this really hits closer to home for somebody, for you and your fellow neighbors living in Finland, being a bordering country with Russia, what do you have to say to those kinds of skeptics that say, you know what, no, we shouldn't allow Finland or Sweden into the alliance because we don't want to wake up the bear, we don't want to antagonize Russia?
Right. So first, bears would be insulted if they knew that they were all the time connected with Russia. Russia has really, really just succeeded in building this image of itself as this some kind of dangerous, big and powerful bear. And in many mythologies, it is often referred to as one. But I'm not sure if it really deserves to be connected to that beautiful animal. But anyways, I would say to these skeptics, not to amplify and parrot Russian propaganda and talking points anymore, because we have heard enough, and there is just they sound paranoid, and they really sound that the Russian information psychological warfare has really, really done some damage to their thinking and to their attitudes, because that is at the core of Russian information operations, to try and deny nations the possibility to make their own decisions about their own security and to defend their country as they want and to build alliances, become parts of alliances as they want. So definitely I would tell them to just find better argumentation, really. Yeah.
I agree. You know, I hear these takes sometimes, and it makes me wonder about where they are getting their information from, because a lot of times people these days get their news on social media, on Twitter, on TikTok. I know a lot of people that even get their news on TikTok, and there's been studies. I actually interviewed one gentleman that studied performed a study that showed that Russian disinformation, pro-Russia, anti-Ukrainian Russian disinformation is rampant on social media sites like TikTok. And as you said, on the internet, there's still so much disinformation on Telegram and so forth. So yeah, it really makes me wonder where they are getting their information after, because this is so obvious, it's so black and white, you know, one country invaded a sovereign democracy and has been ruthlessly targeting and bombing and shelling civilians. And to say that it's NATO's fault in any way seems morbid and really does make me question, as you say, what are their information sources and to what extent are these sources manipulated by Russian disinformation?
Exactly.
People making that argument in the US, there was actually this kind of Twitter uproar yesterday, because there is this kind of renowned academic. His name is Noam Chomsky. He's in his older age now. And he is known for his work, research work in the field of linguistics. He co-authored this book called Manufacturing Consent, which has been quite influential. However, he's made some alarming remarks, which I'm going to play.
Well, there is fortunately one statesman in the United States and Europe who has laid out a person of a high political figure who has made a very sensible statement about how you can solve the crisis. His name is Donald J. Trump.
That is astonishing. You know, I used to read this guy 20 years ago and actually respected his views, but what happened to him, and how did he turn to this? Do you know, or what happened?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the older age or if he has become a victim of his own kind of echo chamber. He has formed, I think, with somebody like him. And what's interesting about Chomsky is that he was actually super popular at Russia Today, the television station where I got,
really?
Yes, an inside look. Super popular. Actually, one of the correspondents and anchors, she named her dog Chomsky because that's how much that's how much respect she had for Chomsky. Russian propaganda, Russian disinformation, Russian officials like to amplify voices like this because they like his messages, his foreign policy. For example, we just discussed this kind of anti-NATO sentiment. He would be an academic that might, because he says that he's anti-war. The kind of paradox here with this line of thinking is that what ends up happening with figures like Chomsky and like Glenn Greenwald, who also supports Chomsky and tweeted his praises, is that they tend to only criticize the United States. They only criticize NATO, but they don't criticize other, you know, real dictators that are in this particular case, a real genocide is happening. The first land grab in Europe, in full-scale invasion like this of another sovereign country since World War II, and you're not hearing this kind of anti-colonial outrage from these types of figures because they're only focused on bashing, you know, being critical of U.S. foreign policy or Western foreign policy or NATO foreign policy. So it really creates a blind spot for them in which they kind of look the other way or make excuses. And I'm seeing people on Twitter calling him a genocide denier, his true colors finally coming out. Some people warning that this is who he really has always been. I always had this kind of critical approach towards somebody like him because he was so worshipped at RT. Because what I learned is if RT is amplifying or cheering somebody on, for example, like they're doing with Tucker Carlson on the far right, there is this segment of the far left, and some are in academia, some are respected in certain circles. Chomsky in particular has a kind of cult following within the so-called anti-war crowd, which is kind of outing themselves right now in the face of Ukraine as not really being anti-war, but only being critical of the U.S. and able to look the other way and even deny a genocide as it's happening. So this is something that I really caution people when they're hearing from these voices, because I saw from the inside that these kinds of so-called anti-war voices, academics, that they are actually weaponized. Russia combs Western commentators, academics, and there's always some useful idiot with some kind of a take that's contrarian, you know? And Russia will find those people in the West, in the United States, and amplify it because it helps their cause. It makes them look like they're not that bad. And in this particular case, actually denying the genocide in Ukraine and saying that they should give up in the fight and it's time to negotiate. How do you negotiate with a country that is intent on that says you don't exist? So this is my big message, I think, today in terms of for people that want to not fall victim to Russian propaganda, to Russian disinformation as this war in Ukraine is raging on, to pay attention to where Russian disinformation is coming from because they can come from surprising places and from unexpected voices. Like Chomsky, who apparently now is a Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm. I'm really happy that you brought this up. This is such a big phenomenon and such an under-researched tool of Russian influence operations. This has been celebrity researchers and journalists who then turned into some type of propagandists or B-list pro-Kremlin puppets. And for me, thank you so much for mentioning Glenn Greenwald. Already many years ago, someone mentioned to me that this Glenn Greenwald is some type of Russian propaganda spreader. And I was so insulted. As a journalist, I was just like insulted. How can you say anything like that? You know, he is this big celebrated journalist who was amongst those few selected reporters who brought out information and who had Edward Snowden as their source in bringing out all those beautiful, interesting revelations. But then I started to follow Glenn Greenwald on Twitter, and what do you know? It is parroting Russia's disinformation on many parts. And just like you say, never, ever criticizing Russia or the Kremlin.
Right.
I just had to admit it. It's true. It's true. It's Russian propaganda spreading.
He has for many years now been a Putin apologist, and he's one of those people as well that is unable to critique Putin and dictatorial regimes, but is only able to criticize the United States and NATO. And he is kind of the king of something called whataboutism when we're talking about. I'm sure you've heard of this when we point out the horrific genocide that's happening in Ukraine. He'll say, "Well, what about Iraq? What about Afghanistan? And just make these false equivalences and try to change the subject. And this is a popular tactic in Russian disinformation. Something that happened kind of a tactic that was used at RT. And what propagandists do today, they'll always say, what about Iraq? What about Afghanistan? And it is a powerful propaganda tool because they're, like you say, an element of a kernel. You know, there's truth in there. The difference is, A, they're not comparable. There is no reason why when a live genocide is happening, that you should deny it and instead change the subject to something that happened several years ago. It's something that is, I think, frankly, disgusting because it shows that they don't actually care about what's going on in Ukraine. They don't care about the truth and the horrors as they're unfolding right now. And to deny that, I think, is pretty inhumane. So before we go, just one more question, because I know that you have been monitoring another disinformation source on WhatsApp about a troubling call to violence in Finland. Can you elaborate on your observations as you've been following this conversation on WhatsApp?
Yes, definitely, Liz. Thank you so much for asking. This is just pretty much beyond anything I've ever seen before happening in Finland in this front. So this concerned citizen approached me, and he or she, I'm not going to disclose his or her gender here, told me that he or she had been looking at this channel or group on WhatsApp in which Finnish Russians, so Russian origin people living in Finland, have been targeted for information warfare and at least attempts of information warfare. And when you look at this material, there are people, for example, inciting violence against Ukrainians, spreading so much hate speech, these really nasty, disgusting Russian words, slang words, derogatory words being used against Ukrainians. And the worst thing really has been that they also discussed the possibility to bring guns to a protest, which is to be held in Finland next Sunday in Mother's Day, just one day prior to the Victory Day in Russia. So this protest is already Kremlin-minded. It's being organized by a pro-Russian organization whose chair has connections to Johan Beckman, who is a well-known helper of Russian security services and recruiter of fighters in eastern Ukraine. And it seems that the chair is really active in this group and is really actively hosting these discussions. And it really makes me sick to read these discussions, and it really raises questions whether these types of channels and groups form a threat to national security of Finland, and whether, you know, Finland has been a super safe country, but these types of information warfare WhatsApp groups targeted at vulnerable communities can really turn these protests into something really violent. So I'm really hoping that does not happen. And I have been really happy to learn from my source that many people have already been leaving this group because they just cannot stand the warmongering and the hate spreading in the group. But I will keep you posted, and let's keep following these developments. And next week, maybe we can touch base and I will report what happened in this actual protest in the end.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of the in the run-up to the 2016 election, there was a full investigation into Russian trolls and fake accounts trying to create real-life protests and to get, you know, to get people off their computers and into the streets and actually cause chaos and mayhem and social discord and get people to fight each other. And in this particular case, it's alarming specifically because there is this call to violence. So I'm really glad that you're keeping an eye on it. And it's just a reminder that this Russian information warfare, as there these horrors are going on in Ukraine, there is this information war going on alongside of it. And as always, Jessica, thank you for covering it, keeping a close eye on it. And we will be back next week.
Thank you, Liz, so much. It was, again, such a pleasure. And please, listeners, if you liked it, please share it. And even if you hated it, also share it. Thank you so much. Hear you soon.
Whatever you do, please leave us 5 stars. Also, if you can, leave a review. That really does help in the algorithm. Also, share on social media, tell a friend, tag us at Liz Wall, at Jessica Aro. We'll see you back here next week.
See you.